PCJ Radio International presents the longest-running international show, The Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Pehon.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome again to another edition of your program, Happy Station, from PCJ Radio International. 55 minutes of music and light chit-chat. Now, I'm going to keep the opening to today's program rather short because we're going to begin with two pieces of music from the same singer. This week, the legendary American singer Natalie Cole, daughter of Nat King Cole, died suddenly after a long illness. She had a number of hits in the 1970s, but it wasn't until 1991 when she released an album called Unforgettable with Love, Natalie Cole, that she became a major international success. The album features songs from her father's songbook from the 1950s and 60s. It was after this album that she became one of many legendary popular standard singers. We're going to listen to two tracks from that album in tribute to Natalie Cole. First, Unforgettable, which was a duet that she did with her father. Now, at the time, they used a very new technology to take the original recording of Unforgettable with Nat King Cole and do it as a duet with his daughter, Natalie.
Unforgettable, that's what you are.
Unforgettable, though near or far,
like a song of love that clings to me. How the thought of you does things to me. Never before has someone been more
unforgettable in every way,
and forevermore. That's how you'll stay.
That's how you'll stay.
That's why, darling, it's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too. Someone so unforgettable
thinks that I am unforgettable too.
It's Only a Paper Moon, and before that, Unforgettable, both by Natalie Cole, with the exception of Unforgettable, that was a duet with her father, which they did technically back in 1991. There was actually another song that came out around the same time between a child and his father, the father being Hank Williams and the son being Hank Williams Jr. Hank Williams was a very famous country western singer as well as composers. Many of his songs were recorded by other artists, but there was one track in particular called A Tear in My Beer that he had recorded, but it was never officially released until Hank Williams Jr. came across the recording and decided to do it as a duet with his father. The producer of those two sessions, by the way, is the same producer, Tommy La Puma. And we will try to dig up that recording to play on the program very soon. Anyway, you are listening to Happy Station, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. We do have some special programs coming up, beginning January the 31st. The program for January the 31st and September the 7th will be two special ones. And that's because I'll be traveling from the 26th of January until February the 10th. I'll be going actually the same place that I went late last year, which was Berlin, Stuttgart, Essingen, the Netherlands, and then Paris. But this time, actually, I'm doing the trip in reverse. And we will, when I return, do a couple of other programs, since the European tour programs that we did last year had a very good response. We're going to do it again. What we have planned for those, I can't really tell you right now. We'll have to keep them a secret. All right, now time for music once again. Glenn Miller and his orchestra with The Little Brown Jug. Little Brown Jug, Glenn Miller and his orchestra. I just want to take a couple of moments to tell you about an interesting feature that we have at the PCJ website, and we're going to be running it for a couple of months. Now, with Chinese New Year just around the corner, one of the traditions with Chinese New Year is to clean house and to disperse of things that you no longer need. Or wish to just either throw away. Now, we have so many radios and radio-related items that we decided to auction some, not all, but some of the items off. And the money that we raise from it will be given to UNICEF, which is the United Nations Children's Fund. Now, if you go to our website, pcjmedia.com, on the top menu, far off to the left, sorry, far off to the right, you'll see something that says PCJ Auction. So we are auctioning the items off. There's all kinds of things. Radios, turntables, t-shirts, bags, flags, coffee cups, radio transcriptions on LP and CD, and many, many more. Now, the radios that we're auctioning off for this site, some are new, but some are radios that we previously used but we just don't use anymore. So we were the only owner. Maybe we only used it for 6 hours and that was it. Now, how the auction items are going to be auctioned off is the following. First thing you should know is that there is a $20 postage charge on all items. Doesn't matter what it is. $20 flat fee for postage. The winners must pay for the item within 24 hours of winning it. Payment can be only received by PayPal, and all prices are in U.S. dollars. Now, if you go to that page, which is the PCJ auction, you'll see a picture of the item that is currently up for bid. Now, new items are going to be put there every Sunday. So the starting bid, for example, will be, I don't know, like $12 or something. And then if you want to bid on the item, there'll be, I should mention, of course, there is a description of the item. But then if you want to bid on the item, you send us an email, which you'll also see on the webpage, of how much you want to bid. So let's say it's $12. You can put $12.10 and somebody else puts $12.15. Maybe somebody else puts $20. You get the idea. You get the idea. And then, of course, there's the date of when that auction closes. So do go and check it out. And so far, this week actually is the third item up for bid, which is a Sanjin SG721L FM longwave and shortwave receiver. And next week, I have no idea what it is, but if you want to go bid on this one, please do so. It'll show the starting bid price and then the bid at the current price. And all the information is there. All the information is there. And that's it. It's very self-explanatory. So pcjmedia.com, and just click on the link, which is to the right, called PCJ Auction. All right, time now for more music. We're going to listen to a couple of singers from Sweden. They are Sofia and Peterson Bergander. And my Swedish is absolutely appalling, but I'll do my best to pronounce the title track from this CD. Det liknar ingenting.
Min klart som solen själv. Så unikt och obegripligt speciellt. Hur ska jag då finna ord som ingen innan redan slitit ut? Jag ger upp min poesi. Du får ta min melodi. Så hittar du min kärlek där och där.
Sofia and Peterson Bagander, with a track that I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce a second time. Many, many years ago, about more than 20 years ago, beginning probably in the 1980s and through the early 1990s, in certain markets around the world, they would have these infomercials for different LPs and CDs and tapes. And they were usually compilation recordings of hits from the 50s and 60s. And what was quite interesting about them is what they would call them. Now, the standard one was original singers, original hits, or original artists, original hits. But that very often didn't mean the original recordings. Now, many of the artists that were involved in these recordings, it could be Connie Francis or the Platters or not, and others, didn't own the copyright to the music maybe they had originally done. So they would go into the studio at 60, 65, 70 years old and then redo them. But very often it may be the original artist, but in some of the cases, or rather in many of the cases, their voices, of course, had changed over time. So it didn't sound exactly the same. So that's why the way they call them the way they did. Original artists with original hits. It wasn't until a number of years later when compilations started to appear again, and they would reword it differently. The rewording was original artists, original recordings. So they would be reissuing the original recordings from the time period that they were big hits. And those ones were actually more popular. Now, I have a couple that I picked up many years ago with the labeling original artist singing original hits. And I have to say, they're quite appalling. I wouldn't say appalling, but, you know, there's something about if you take a song by the Drifters, right? And you bring the band members together, the ones that are still alive, and have them redo it, it's just going to sound different. You know, somebody in their 20s doesn't sing the same way as somebody in their 70s. We all know that. But that's only a small part of the problem. The main problem, of course, is a lot of the older recordings have a certain sound, a sound that is very difficult to capture today with the later recording equipment that came along in the 70s and 1980s. The arrangements are slightly different as well. But every so often, there is a CD that comes out. And this is the artist that we're going to take a listen to next is one of the artists that actually had these god-awful re-recorded versions of songs that he had originally had hits with released in the 1980s. His name is Carl Perkins, who had a number of hits in the 1950s. Now, many people, when they think of the song Blue Suede Shoes, they think Elvis Presley, but actually it is Carl Perkins that had a hit with it before Elvis Presley. In the 1980s, Carl Perkins was still touring. And one label in particular, I can't remember the name of it, decided to invite him into the studio and redo all his hits. And he did it. And actually, he was good. Because he was performing live until the age of 65, when he died in 1998, he was still continuing to perform live. But the problem was not the songs and not his live performances, but the sound maybe that people had become accustomed to with the recordings that he made for Sun Records was lost in the newer recordings. And then a few years ago, Prestige, a label out of the United States, decided to re-release the original recordings and not the ones that he'd done in the 1980s, and there is a big difference. We're going to listen to one of them right now. It is one of his hits, Blue Suede Shoes, the great and legendary Carl Perkins.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue. Me down, step in my face, slander my name all over the place, and do anything that you wanna do. But honey, lay off of my shoes, and don't you step on my blue suede shoes. You can do anything, but lay off of my blue suede shoes. My car, drink my liquor from my old fruit jar, do anything that you wanna do, but honey, lay off of them shoes, and don't you step on my blue suede shoes. You can do anything, but lay off of my blue suede shoes. Rock! For the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoes. You can do anything, but lay off of my blue suede shoes. But it's blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Yeah, blue, blue, blue suede shoes, baby. Blue, blue, blue suede shoes. You can do anything, but lay off of my.
Carl Perkins and the original recording of Blue Suede Shoes. He had a hit with that way before Elvis Presley did. And that's from a new compilation of his early Sun releases, referring to there, of course, to Sun Records. The month of December, January, and February is an interesting time in Taiwan. Now, of course, it is around the world for at least two of those months. And that, of course, is December and January, and that's because of Christmas, and then, of course, New Year's and New Year's Day. So we'll say January, even though it's only part of the month. But here in Taiwan and other parts of Asia, we have an extra bonus to add, February, and that is because of Chinese New Year. Now, there was an interesting article that appeared recently in the Apple Daily, which is a newspaper here in Taiwan. Now, over the last maybe 30 years, it has actually become more of a custom for Taiwanese to celebrate Christmas and buy gifts. But they notice now a slight problem. Because people now expect gifts for Christmas. And then, of course, they expect gifts for Chinese New Year. And the question now that people keep asking is, well, which gift do I spend more money on? And surprisingly, it is a difficult one to call. But it looks like actually people are spending more money on their Christmas gifts than they are on their Chinese New Year's gifts. The article also went on to say that it is the time of year when a lot of young couples, when I mean young couples between the ages of 15 and 25, actually end up breaking up. Because usually the girl, from the research that in this article, said, well, girls that they were speaking to said, well, my boyfriend bought me a nice Christmas gift, but he gave me a terrible Chinese New Year's gift. And they would speak to the boyfriends and they realized because they all spend their money before. So it is an interesting thing. And the sales kind of don't stop. We had our Christmas sales here beginning probably around the middle of October. And they continued. And as soon as Christmas ended, when I mean ended, it was like 1 minute after midnight, the sales for Chinese New Year started. So we went in from one holiday right until the next. And of course, then there's the New Year's gifts that people will buy for December the 31st. Yes, it is, how would I describe it? It's a shopper's paradise. It really is a shopper's paradise. There's all kinds of sales everywhere. And some of the stores were quite brilliant. Instead of coming out, with publicity for Christmas, then having to take that down and then put up a new one for Chinese New Year, they came up with these standard ones that they can leave up for 3 months. And they are quite interesting. And they work with LED lights. So, say from beginning around the middle of October until December the 24th, the name of the store, whatever it is, and, 30% off, blah, 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 for Christmas. And then the next day, they just take out the word Christmas and they put CNY or Chinese New Year. Now, sometimes when people see the signs for the first time, if they've never been to Taiwan, they could be a little bit misleading. And this happened to me about 20 years ago, the first time I came to Asia. They are, if you don't understand it, they could be quite misleading. You'll see a sign, and you'll see 70, or you'll see 90, and then the percentage icon. That doesn't mean 90% off, and it doesn't mean 70% off. It means if you see one of these big signs where it says 70 and the percentage logo, that means you're paying 70% of the price on the ticket. And of course, the rest of the world, we just say, well, it's 30% off. But if you put 30 instead of the 70, that means you're only paying 30% of the actual cost. So yeah, they just do it a little bit differently here. But over the last few years, you're starting to see both. And it has caused a little bit of confusion. Because like I said, more people are used to seeing 70, which means you pay 70% of the price and not 30% off. And it has created a bit of a problem because some people would go, oh, it's 30%. I only have to pay 30% of the price. Great. And then they get there and they realize, oh, actually, it really is the same thing, but it's just off the original price. But anyway, yeah. So what they have done now to cease this kind of confusion, in the larger shopping malls, not the individual stores, but in the larger shopping malls where you have, you know, the high-end boutiques, Louis Vuitton, Chanel and Jimmy Choo and others, they're putting it a stand. They're making it standardized, so you can't do that anymore. And you're starting to also see some of the bigger retailers doing away with that completely, and just putting a sale price on the sticker next to the sticker that's actually on the item to avoid any type of confusion. But this is also creating confusion because one place they do this way, another place they do that way, and then people get into arguments in stores, which is rather funny because if you're only paying 70% of the price of this price, right, or it's 30% off, it really means the same thing. Anyway, we'll see what happens with that. Time now for music again. This is a composition by the legendary composer, arranger, conductor, Neil Hefti, who worked with many, many artists during his career. This is from a CD that is a reissue of an album that came out in 1962 of Count Basie called On My Way and Shoutin' Again. Count Basie and his orchestra play the music of Neil Hefti with I'm Shoutin' Again. Thank you. Count Basie and his orchestra playing a composition by Neil Hefti. I'm shouting again from the album. I'm shouting again, or rather, I'm on my way and shouting again, released on the Verve label. You're listening to Hab Station, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. And this year, we don't have a launch date yet, but we are going to be launching a new website. Not for PCJ. Well, it's a PCJ-connected website, but it's a totally, totally different website that will be containing nothing but the Happy Station Show, but from a particular period, from the Tom Meyer period. Now, that's all that I can tell you at this very moment, but there is actually something else that I do want to tell you about. Now, you may remember a film that I have talked about before. It was produced in the 1970s for the 50th anniversary of international broadcasting from the Netherlands about Happy Station. And it's a 15-minute film, and we have a copy that was sent to us by Tom Meyer. Well, I have the original print of that, and it is currently in the process of being digitized and cleaned and repaired. And when we do have that ready, we're going to be providing it as a Blu-ray DVD, a special Blu-ray DVD, in a limited quantity. Now, to order them, we don't have a price yet, because it's still being worked on. But as soon as we do, we will post that information. Now, it's like I said, it's going to be a limited run. A special Blu-ray, cleaned up, newly fixed soundtrack and everything, of a 15-minute film that was produced by Radio Nederland Television in the late 1970s for the anniversary, the 50th anniversary of the Happy Station. All right, okay, good. Time now for music again. Here's Marvin Gaye from an album called Romantically Yours, singing not his soul and pop stuff, but rather pop standards like this one, More.
And the greatest love the whole wide world has known. Darling, this is the love I'm gonna give you. To you, you alone. Well, more than the simple words. Try to say, darling, I'm gonna love you. Sleeping, honey, laughing, weeping, longer than always. I know that's a pretty long time, but far beyond forever. No one else could love you more.
Marvin Gaye from the album Romantically Yours with the standard More. Our next song is by a rather unusual singer. Now, mambo music is not that strange. No, certainly not. Opera is not strange at all. In fact, very serious. But what happens if you take an operatic type voice and put it with mambo and then mix it together? Well, then you get something that is really odd indeed. One singer made her career singing this kind of music. Her name is Yuma Sumac. Now, for those of you who have never heard Yuma Sumac before, you're in for a treat. She had a classically trained voice, but was... I wouldn't even know how to describe it. Mambo music or just odd, in just very strange. Okay, just very, very, very strange. Here's the legendary Yuma Sumac and one of her early hits, Gopher Mambo. Legendary Yuma Sumac with Gopher Mambo. Most of her recordings, by the way, have been issued on CD. And they're just very strange. I have to admit that after a while, a lot of her stuff kind of, it just kind of grates on you. And you just go, okay, enough is enough. Enough is enough. But if you want to hear something unusual, just go and pick up a Yuma Sumac CD. Have a few drinks, by the way. That'll make listening to it much more pleasurable indeed. Anyway, I have to leave you now. If you wish to contact us, our email address is mnp@pcjmedia.com. No, it isn't. That's for Media Network Plus. Our email address for this show is pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. We're going to end today with another legendary singer, actually much better than Yuma Sumac, Rosemary Clooney. Yes, Rosemary Clooney. You know, come on to my house, bocce me, bocce you, and everybody goes crazy. You know what I mean. But this is actually one of the recordings that she made for the Concord label in the 1980s. It's the song There's No Business Like Show Business. So until next time, friends, I'm Keith Powell, wishing you well. We'll see you again in 7 days' time. au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
There's no business like show business, like no business I know. Everything about it is appealing, everything the traffic will allow. Nowhere can you get that happy feeling when you are stealing that extra bow. There's no people like show people, they smile when they are low. Even with a turkey that you know will fold, you may be stranded out in the cold. Still you wouldn't change it for a sack of gold. Let's go on with the show.
Down. The headache, the heartaches, the backaches, the flops, the sheriff who escorts you out of town. The opening when your heart beats like a drum. The closing when the customers won't come. There's no business like show business, like no business I know. Traveling through the country can be thrilling. Out in front on opening nights, smiling as you watch the theater filling, and there's your billing out there in lights. There's no people like show people, they smile when they are low. Yesterday they told you you would not go far, that night you open and there you are. Next day on your dressing room they've hung a star. Let's go on with the show.